August 12, 2022, Salman Rushdie, one of the world's best-known writers, was attacked and nearly killed by a young man with a knife. Now, Rushdie has written of that harrowing day and all that's followed in a new book. And he recently spoke to our Jeffrey Brown for our arts and culture series, Canvas.
As we sit here a year, a little more than a year and a half after the attack, how are you?
I'm, you know, surprisingly good. Surprising to myself, certainly, but also actually surprising to quite a lot of the army of doctors that I've been involved with, many of whom have said that the recovery is much in excess of what they would have expected.
The knife attack, 15 stabs, came at the Chautauqua Institution in Western New York during a public talk on, of all things, the importance of keeping writers safe. It left Salman Rushdie near death. He would lose use of his right eye and suffer numerous other injuries to his hand, neck, chest, and abdomen, and undergo multiple surgeries, numerous setbacks, a painful, slow recovery. When he decided to write about it, he says now, the first word that came, the title, knife.
At its most basic, it's the story of a knife attack. But then I came to think of it in another way, a kind of more metaphorical way. I came to think of like language as a kind of knife, you know, it's a kind of also a sort of tool which you could use to cut through things to the truth. And I thought, well, that's my knife. You know, I don't. And if you're going to be in a knife fight, you may as well have a knife. So in a funny way, I came to think that the book itself is a knife, but it's my knife. It's my way of fighting back.
Was this one harder to write than others?
I'll tell you
what. Because it was so personal?
The first chapter was very hard to write. The first chapter, which actually details the attack itself, that was really hard to write, to go back into that moment and to try and be as honest and truthful about it as I could be, you know, to get such a good look at the end. Yeah. You know, I mean, I had a really good look at it.
How did it look?
Well, not great. I mean, on the one hand, it was quite prosaic, you know, and I was lying there bleeding, and I, in a completely kind of neutral way, I found myself thinking, I'm dying, but like in that kind of tone of voice, nothing dramatic, you know, just that's probably what's happening. And then I felt very lonely because I felt how sad it was to be dying among strangers, you know,
and you weren't at home
and far away from people you love.
Most of all, his wife, Rachel Eliza Griffiths, a poet and novelist with whom he's been together since 2017. Knife, he wants us to know, is also a love story. Meeting us at the office of his longtime agent, Andrew Wiley, Rushdie, now 76, is still quick with jokes and wit. He's happy with his weight loss, he says, but doesn't recommend the route he took to drop the pounds. He also showed us a photo on the wall from another dramatic time in his life, the publication of his novel, The Satanic Verses, in 1988. Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini, denouncing the book as an insult to Islam, issued a fatwa calling for Rushdie's death. There were violent demonstrations in the Muslim world, and the book's Japanese translator was murdered in 1991. Rushdie himself, then living in London, went into hiding with police protection for 9 years. He would write about that period in his first memoir, Joseph Anton.
To my surprise, I've now written two autobiographical books. Mm-hmm. When I became a writer, I had zero interest in autobiography. Mm-hmm. But then I acquired the problem of an interesting life.
But for the past 20 years now in New York, he's lived a fairly normal life, often in public. That's including with us on the Staten Island ferry when we talked of his 2015 novel, 2 years, 8 months, and 28 nights. He had moved on.
And I thought, okay, this is behind me, you know, and the world moves on. So much else to be for people to be upset about. You know? And I mean, like this kid, 24, he wasn't even born at the time that trouble happened.
This kid, Hadi Mater, born in California, living in New Jersey before the attack, now awaiting trial for attempted murder. In his book, Rushdie chose not to name him, calling him the A for my assailant, my would-be assassin, the asinine man who made assumptions about me. And in a very Rushdian twist, he imagines a series of talks with his attacker, a fictional section within this very nonfiction book.
You clearly had to address him or think about him as a person.
Yeah.
But you also clearly, I think, had to make a decision how much of a character in your life, in your book, in your story.
Yeah, I mean, I think he obviously is a character in it. But the reason I wanted to think about him imaginatively is that I think there's sort of a puzzle about him, which is that he was very, very young. And one of the things he knew, must have known he was doing was to ruin his life by committing murder. It would also be a terrible catastrophe in his life, not just in mine. And why would somebody so young be so willing to sacrifice their own freedom and future? Initially, I wanted to meet him, to ask him. And I thought, I'm not going to get anything useful out of that. You know, I'll just get a bunch of slogans. And then I thought, let me use what talent I have, you know, which is, as you say, imagination and storytelling. And let me just try and imagine my way into him and try and fill that hole, you know, so at least to my satisfaction, I can construct a narrative that feels plausible.
Now are you done with him?
Yeah, I kind of dealt with him as far as I'm concerned.
You know, you write at one point, I understood that the strangenesses of my life had put me at the heart of a battle. And that battle is between the book and the bomb, the word, and now the knife.
Yes, and kind of, and just between bigotry and tolerance, you know, between openness and closedness, between humorlessness and humor. I mean, it's not a battle that I picked, you know, but given that I'm in it, it's the right battle. In the end, that's what writers can do. They can tell the story. And you know, dictators, tyrants, powerful people can own the present. But I've always believed writers own the future.
And for you?
I think if you're my kind of writer, what you most want to do is to write books that will endure. You know, you want them to outlast you. I mean, my dear friend Martin Amis, we just lost, mm-hmm. used to say that what you hope to leave behind you is a shelf of books. You want to be able to say, you know, like from here to here, it's me, you know. And I mean, I've got 22 now, so that's a shelf.
That's a good shelf.
Hmm.
And now for Salman Rushdie, no doubt a shelf that will continue to grow. For the PBS NewsHour, I'm Jeffrey Brown in New York.